If you're here, Psalms 23, excuse me, Proverbs 23. If you're in here, Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. And we will get into that in just a minute. I have a handout. I want to be sure and get in the hands of all the young people. Now, if there's enough left over for some of the adults to have one per couple, that's great. When I say young people, that's college age and down. I'd like to get one in the hands of all the young people tonight. I'd like for you to have this handout, something to write with. Hopefully, mom or dad got a pencil or a pen. If not, look around. Maybe somebody's got an extra pen or pencil. That'd be a help. You could have one tonight. None of you guys got a pen. Any guys? Okay. Took the brother Caleb run to the office. They got that big old, that jar of pens in there. Bring these guys a pen. Anybody else need a pen or a pencil? You steal some out of the usher's closet as long as you give them back. All right. We'll get some pens out tonight. We should have brought some. Probably should bring a pen to church. Good thing to have with you at church. Want to write something down. Now, Brother Vineyard taught us if you're going to have two things in your pocket, you're going to have a pen and a 3x5 card. Here it is right there. Still got a 3x5 card and a pen. I'm afraid that he'll catch me without it. One of those 800 ways he has to kill people, he'll use it on me. See? That's right. So, very good. If you want to move up out of underneath the balcony, you can. We got room upstairs, down here tonight. We're up from underneath. If you have time to do it now, sit way back in the back. You don't have to tonight unless you need to. And we'll have a good time tonight. Look at that. Very good. Proverbs 23. We get back with the pens yet? We need some down here. We get some help getting those around. And get some of these folks to fill out. All the kids got a sheet of paper tonight? All the kids got a sheet of paper tonight. I want to take off from where we thought we were on this past Sunday night. I talked a little bit about the matter of tithing on Sunday night. I want to talk tonight on the subject, more precious than gold. More precious than gold. Look at Proverbs 23 and verse 4 and 5. Let's pray, and then we'll read these verses. Heavenly Father, we're glad to be here tonight. Now, please speak to us. I pray that, dear God, you will open our eyes. And I pray especially for the eyes and hearts of our young people in this materialistic day and age, Lord, overrun with covetousness and greed and gotta have. I pray that you'll help us to think biblically on these matters and help the young people tonight, especially even adults in this room. And help me as I deliver the lesson and bless Brother Hall upstairs. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Verse 4 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now Solomon begins chapter 23 by dealing with two matters that people can give themselves to in excess if they are not careful. In verses 1 through 3, he talks about those who are given to appetite. And surely, we have to be aware of that. We are told to approach food and drink in moderation and be careful not to be overcome by such things. You can get yourself in a very bad way, physically and then emotionally and even mentally, if you're not careful about your diet. And so he's talking here about being given to appetite in verses 1 through 3. Now let's move on to something we'd rather talk about, verses 4 through 5, all right? Solomon warns about those that are given to covetousness. To covetousness, okay? You see that in verses 4 and 5. We are told that we must have, and you can fill this in, the first sentence there in your little paper, we must have biblical thinking patterns about money. We must have biblical thinking patterns about money. If we don't, we will end up in danger of coveting that which is fleeting. Fleeting, okay? So we must have biblical thinking patterns about money, or we will end up in danger of coveting those things which are fleeting. Notice in verse number 5, he asks a question, "Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not?" Now, he's not saying here that money is not at all important. You know it's important in the Christian's life. It's how we look at it. It's how we view it. wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? Solomon is asking why a person would set their eyes on that which is not the most important. Money is important, but it is not the most important. Why would you be overcome with passion for that which is fleeting? And friend, you know how slowly it comes in, how quickly it goes out. You know that. It's fleeting, all right? Absolutely fleeting. Now, Sunday evening, I made mention of the fact that withholding the tithe robs us of the blessing of God. And in that talk, I talked about the fact that some people counter that statement by asserting that, you know, I don't tithe, and yet I still have enough money. But the blessing is more than just monetary. Blessing covers a broad range of things that are far more important than money. And that's the same thing that Solomon is saying in these verses. Why are you setting your heart? Why are you setting your eyes on that which is fleeting? Why are you trying to grab at that which is going to fly away? Okay? And this is not the only place where the Scripture refers to the, oh, I hate to use the word unimportance, because how you handle money is important, but the Scripture places a lower priority on money than you and I do, especially than the American mentality. We're inundated with it in this country. We're overrun with it. Now, hold your finger here. Look at Luke chapter 16. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 is more known for the story of rich man and Lazarus dying. The rich man dies and goes to hell. But actually, before you get to that in Luke chapter 16, you have the parable of the unjust steward. Quite a bit of the chapter is given over to the subject of money. And by the way, that second statement in the handout there, withholding the tithe, robs us of the blessing of God. All right? Look down at chapter 16 at verse number 10. And this is talking about the unjust steward here, okay? He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that's money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, if you look at verse number 10 and you circle faithful in that which is least, unjust in that which is least, and then unrighteous mammon, all of those are talking about money. Money. All right? If you circle that which is, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, unjust also in much, commit to your trust the true riches, okay? That what the Lord Jesus is teaching here is that you, if you and I are not faithful in the least, and that's in the handling of our money. Now, you and I think that's the most important thing, but Jesus said it's the least important thing. Now, you got to be faithful in it and treat it right. And if you'll do that, if you'll treat money right, and if you'll handle money properly and have the right attitude toward money, then you will be entrusted with the true riches. True riches are not found in dollars and cents. True riches are found in several other things. So this is another example where in the Bible, money is put kind of at a lower priority than where you and I would place it, or some Americans would place it for sure. Okay, let's go back to chapter 23 in the book of Proverbs. And in Luke chapter 16, that's a direct reference to the truth that there are many things in life more valuable, more precious than money. Now, tithing opens up the windows of heaven and makes available all those things that are more precious than gold. We will just use the Psalms and Proverbs to see a short list tonight of things that are more precious than gold. All right, let's go to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, and this is the first point. Psalm chapter 19, what is more precious than gold? Look with me at verse number 10. You might know this as a scripture song. The Bible says in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, what's he talking about, they, in verse number 10? More to be desired are they than gold. Well, to find out what he's talking about, you've got to go back to verses 7, 8, and 9. Look at it with me. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. You can write that word law in the first blank. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The second blank, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So testimony goes in the second blank. Then you get to verse number 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Statutes goes in that third blank. Continuing on in verse number 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Commandment goes in the fourth blank. You get to verse number 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Fear goes in that fifth blank. And then the end of verse number 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So judgments goes in that last blank. Law, testimony, statutes, commandment, fear, and judgments are words that are synonymous for the Bible. So the first thing the Bible teaches us that's more precious than gold is the Word of God. The Word of God is more precious than gold. The Word of God is more precious than money, more precious than gold, more precious than silver. All right? So the them in verse 10 refers to those words in verses 7, 8, and 9 that are used for Scripture or synonymous with the Bible. God's Word should be desired more than gold. Now, see, that's the problem with us. Mentally, we give some mental assent to saying, yes, we believe that God's Word is more precious than gold. But the key is, what do we desire? More to be desired are they than gold. And if this table up here was stacked maybe 6 inches deep with gold and silver coins tonight, and then this table over here had a copy of God's Word, and you had one choice in life, you could either have all the money that's on this table, or you could have the Bible that's on this table. If you couldn't have both, I know what you're thinking. I'd take the money and buy one Bible and spend it on other things, right? But let's say you couldn't buy a Bible. But seriously, if this money stacked 6 inches deep with gold and silver coins, and this table has one Bible on it, the Bible teaches us that this book is to be desired more than the silver and the gold. It's more valuable than silver and gold. Silver and gold can only touch your physical things. They can't buy you peace of mind. They can't buy you peace of heart. Can't buy you stability in your home. They can't do that. Stability in your marriage. They can't do that. Friend, if silver and gold could buy stability in marriages, then why do you have all these multi-million, dollar marriages and homes and all these things falling apart in complete chaos? Because money can't buy one iota of peace in the marriage. Not one iota. But the Word of God can help you in every area. To choose a bag full of gold over the book full of truth is a poor choice. I'd rather have a book full of truth than a bag full of gold. That's what the Bible teaches. Here, write this down. That means the learning of truth is more valuable than the earning of gold. The learning of truth is more valuable than the earning of gold. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible teaches us. So, when a Christian has a choice to either work or be in a church service, and they choose to work, that's a poor choice. Especially for young people. Now, some of the adults in our church, some of the men have second shift jobs. That's their job. That's when they have to work. And that's unfortunate. But I'll promise you, friend, every man I know of in this church who works a second shift job, who is involved in the ministry of the church, would rather be here on Wednesday night than at their job. That's the honest truth. But when you've got a choice, if you've got no choice, you've got to go to work on Wednesday night and pay for your pay. I understand that. But when you've got a choice and you choose, and when you put your son or your daughter as a teenager to work on Wednesday night instead of being in the church house, that's a poor choice. That's a poor choice. See, the learning of truth is more valuable than the earning of gold. You need to be in the church service. Young people, you'll spend the rest of your life making a living for you and your family. The rest of your life. Baring your knuckles, working hard to provide for the family. Do not pass up opportunities now to learn truth in order to earn gold. That's a poor choice. It's a poor swap, okay, to earn money. You have time to go to camp this summer. Go. Camp's more important than working a job. Now, if you're going to be at a Bible college or some college and you're out of your senior year and you get a job, I can understand that. Some of my kids went to camp as between their senior year of high school and first year of college because they liked camp, and we thought camp was good. I don't think a junior needs to miss Bible camp. I don't think a sophomore needs to miss Bible camp. Okay? Some kind of camp during the summer. So you got time to go to camp this summer? Go. You can either be in church on Wednesday evening or work a few hours. You got that choice? Be in church. You'll soon be in college. You possibly will have to work evenings and miss church on Wednesday night. I did when I was in Bible college. Had to miss a lot of Wednesday nights due to work. So don't do it now when you don't have to. You may have to someday. But don't do it now when you don't have to. Because the learning of truth is more valuable than the earning of gold. And we say amen to that, but sometimes parents, we're put to test when our kids get a little older. They need to be in church. Amen and amen and amen. And by the way, I've always said that if your young person has been taught a good work ethic, they have leverage. Because the average young person out there doesn't know how to work. Doesn't know how to show up on time, doesn't know how to work a hard day. And if you'll say, you know what, my son or my daughter can work, but they can't work on Sundays. A lot of times they'll say, you know what, I'd rather have your son or daughter Monday through Saturday and give them off Sunday than lose them for good. I would be very careful about making the choice to work when it cost me an opportunity to be in a church service to hear the Word of God. That's just based on what the Bible teaches us. More to be desired are they than gold, the Word of God. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. That's the first thing that's more precious than gold, the Word of God. Number two, we go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Proverbs 3, 13 and 14. Here's what Solomon wrote. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of gold, and the gain thereof than fine gold. So the second thing the Bible teaches us is more important than or more precious than gold is wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding. Now, definitions. Wisdom means skill. Wisdom is the ability to put to use that which we have learned. You ever heard the term educated idiot? That's somebody who has all the book learning but doesn't know how to use it. Has all the knowledge in the world, can score, 4.0 and rack up the points on the ACT or the SAT. But when it comes to common sense, they don't have a lick. Don't have any horse sense. I'd rather have a horse sense than educated sense. I really would. I mean that with all of my heart. I feel sorry for people that don't have wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to put to use that which I have learned. It's one thing to have the accumulation of knowledge in my head. Wisdom is the skill to be able to use knowledge rightly. Hey, friend, you know what? I got a screwdriver here. Just because I have a certain tool does not mean that I am capable of using it skillfully. I am not inept when it comes to working with a screwdriver. I'm not as good as I've been around some guys working with a screwdriver. Man, some guys have the skill to handle tools and use them in such a way that it makes the work go quickly. And they don't drop screws. I don't know how you guys are. I've dropped screws. I'd drop the nuts and the bolts on the ground, and I'd use the screwdriver, and it pops out of it. And I can use it, but I'm not very skillful at it. There's a difference in knowing that this is a screwdriver, knowing what it's used for, and being able to use it. That's called skill. That's what wisdom is. Okay? I need wisdom to know how to skillfully use knowledge. Just because I have knowledge, it doesn't mean that I know how to put that knowledge to use. So wisdom means skill. Wisdom, learning how to put to use what I know. The Bible says that's more valuable than gold. Look at the next word, understanding. Understanding means discernment. Discernment. Now, I can put a screwdriver in the hands of, I see little Alex Luco sitting back there. I can put a screwdriver in the hands of Alex Luco. But I want to tell you something, friend. That would probably wreck more damage than it would good. Is that right, Brother Tony? Yeah, I do. I had two sons. I know. Sure, I do. Yeah. I can put a hammer in little Hayden Hendrickson's hand or a little three-year-old, somebody three-year-old here in the church. You can give them a hammer and tell them, and what are they going to do with it? They don't have to. It's not about skill. It's about discernment. They'll use it on the Lord's Supper table. They'll use it on you. They know what to do with it. It's a lack of discernment. It's a lack of understanding. All right? Now, it's one thing to be that way with a hammer or a screwdriver, but it's something else to be that way with knowledge, okay? Now, look, if you don't see how having money, now watch this, having money without wisdom and understanding, because money's a tool. So if I put a hammer or a screwdriver in the hand of a 3-year-old, they don't know how to use it skillfully and they have no discernment on where to use it, what it's for. And you give money, millions of dollars, to a professional athlete who has no wisdom and no understanding, and after making 48 or 80 or 60 million dollars in a period of about 13 years, he's broke. And he can't pay his debts. He's racked up $900,000 in debt. He can't pay anything on it. After making $60 million. That's insane. What good is all that money? You know what Allen Iverson needs? He needs to be saved, first of all. Then he needs a little biblical wisdom, a little biblical understanding. He'd be a whole lot better shape than he is right now with the $90 million he made and in a mess. I'll be honest with you. There are guys in this room who will not make $90 million in your lifetime. Well, that's all up together, all right? We're not going to make. This is the Baptist church. What am I thinking? An independent Baptist. You have oil spots in the parking lot. What am I thinking? But if there's wisdom and understanding, you've got guys here making a living on $40,000 and sometimes less a year because they have a little bit of wisdom and understanding, and make $40,000 stretch further than a guy that makes $90 million. That's insane. Ask the lottery winners. Ask the lottery winners how they're doing. They got no wisdom. They got no understanding. What good is it? It's fleeting. You know, set your eyes on that which is fleeting. Gone. Leave yourself in such a mess you can't pay your bills. You got to file for bank. The embarrassment of having to file for bankruptcy after making $90 million. I don't either. I'd like to try, you know. Just give me a tenth of that. Let me try to make it work. So you tell me what's more important, the money or the wisdom and understanding to know what to do with it. So you give a guy with a little biblical wisdom and understanding about $40,000 a year in some cases, he can make a stretch, live in a house, put food on the table, drive a car, feed his family, I've already said that, clothe his family, give a little bit back to God, and be happy. Hello. We messed up here somewhere. So wisdom means skill. Understanding means discernment. The word merchandise. Look at that word in verse number 14 here. Verse number 14. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver. See that word merchandise? The word merchandise means trade or traffic. Trade or traffic. So to what extent you would go to earn silver, to what extent you would go to earn gold, to trade and traffic so that you can make more gold and more silver, you need to exceed that effort to find wisdom and understanding. If you put all your effort into trafficking and, trading to make silver and gold, and you don't put any effort into finding wisdom and getting understanding, you made a poor choice. You made a very, very poor choice. So whatever effort you put into, is there anything wrong with somebody taking a dollar and trying to make it into five? No, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Jesus taught a parable about that. Gave the guy 5 talents and he made 10. Gave the guy 2 talents and he made 4. That's commendable. But wait a minute. I shouldn't put all of my effort in trafficking and trading for an increase of wealth. I need to put some effort into trafficking and trading for an increase in understanding and wisdom, because understanding and wisdom are more valuable, more precious than gold. So to whatever extent you would go to traffic and trade for silver, exceed that to find wisdom and get understanding. Think about it, plan for it, and work at it. The gain, the Bible tells us, is more valuable than gold. Look at Proverbs chapter 16. This is the same verse, really. Proverbs chapter 16, but here's just a repeat of what we just said there. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? You know, I admire these ladies and some ladies in our church who've learned how to go on eBay and see things at a shop and know them. That's selling for that. I can take that on eBay and I can sell it for three times that. I admire that. And they work at it and do pretty good at it. I'm not against that. I don't think the Bible's against that. But let me tell you something. To traffic and trade to find wisdom and to get understanding is more valuable. It's more valuable than the traffic and trade of gold and silver. Number three, what is more precious than gold? Number three, Proverbs chapter 8. Turn back a few chapters. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 10. Look at it. Proverbs 8 and verse number 10. Receive my instruction, the wise man said, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. So the third thing is instruction and knowledge. Instruction and knowledge. Now, instruction and knowledge is where we begin to receive wisdom and understanding. There has to be some knowledge to know how to use it skillfully and discerningly. And knowledge comes from instruction. So if wisdom and understanding are more valuable than gold, and they come from instruction and knowledge, then obviously instruction and knowledge are more valuable than gold as well. So put them all together, folks. Put all these things together. Wisdom, understanding, instruction, and knowledge. All of them are more valuable than money. All of them are more valuable than money. You can put them all together. Now, that's also my place. To have a job now that robs your time for study and learning is a poor swap. To have a job now that leaves you tired and sleepy during school hours is a poor trade. I said this last year. I haven't seen it as much this year, chapel. I'm telling you what, in a couple, three years of having the school here, it's been amazing to me how tired and sleepy some of the kids are in chapel. And I wonder what in the world they're doing staying up till. What is going on? It doesn't seem like a 10th, 11th, and 12th grader should have to fight sleep in school if they got to bed at a decent time. Unless they're watching television or doing something wasteful. I'd be careful about that. To be sleepy in school, to be tired, not able to pay attention, you know, is a poor trade. Even if you're working a job that keeps you up late on Saturday night and causes you to be sleepy in Sunday school and church is a poor trade. It's a poor trade. Pay attention. Be alert. Learn all you can. Someday you will use what you learn to earn more than minimum wage. That means math is more important than video games. The ability to read is more valuable than the agility to play. Writing is more important than Facebook. And spelling is more important than talking to your friends. It'd be interesting sometime if you could do a little time study on how much time is given to Facebook and texting and writing to friends as opposed to studying. And we're spending this much time on that which is that valuable, and this much time on that which is that valuable. Poor thing. Instruction and knowledge, more important, more precious than gold. Last one, Proverbs 22:1. Proverbs 22 and verse 1. You know this verse. Most of you have heard it before. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So the last two things that are more important and more precious than gold is good name and loving favor. good name and loving favor. People who get a bad name in pursuit of riches make a bad mistake, big mistake. You know, Bonnie and Clyde Barrow were a duo who got rich. But in doing so, they received a bad name. Nobody remembers their wealth or how much they stole in robbery, but people do remember that they were robbers. That's not a good swap. Bad name. Bad name. Most people who live in pursuit of wealth do not receive loving favor. In other words, they are not well loved by others. The pursuit of wealth many times will leave you callous toward your fellow man, which in turn leaves your fellow man callous toward you. So when you give up a good name for gold and silver, you've made a bad choice. When you give up loving favor for gold and silver, you've made a bad choice, because those things, good name and loving favor, is more precious than gold. I won't go into it again because I just used the illustration not too long ago. But back in the days when men had a good name, they could walk into a bank and get the money that they needed when they needed it. Brother Brown had to do that back when his wife died at the bank there in Washington. That's more current than the way things used to be. That's only about 3 years ago. He walked into Washington State Bank and they said, "Pastor Brown, sit down and we'll get you whatever money you need on your signature." That's after 30-something years of building a good name. A good name. Rather be chosen. Now listen, there's four things found in Psalms and Proverbs only. There are other places in the Bible that are more valuable than gold and silver. If you give yourself to the pursuit of wealth, gold and silver, over the pursuit of the Word of God, wisdom and understanding, instruction and knowledge, good name and loving favor, then Solomon's asking you the question, why will you set your eyes upon that which is not? Why are you going to give your heart to that which is not the most important? Are you really going to pursue that which is the least and let the much go unrealized? And if you decide to do that, to pursue the least at the expense of the much, you'll never be entrusted with the true riches. There are some things, a lot of things that money cannot buy. But wisdom and understanding and instruction and knowledge and a good name and loving favor, this book right here, will bring you things that are priceless. So I'm back to the very first statement. We must have biblical thinking patterns about money. Biblical thinking patterns about money. There are some things that are more precious than money. So when I say withholding the tithe robs us of the blessing of God, and somebody says, "Well, I don't tithe and I've got enough money," that's not important. It's the other things that are far more important. And a lot of times those are the things that are lacking. So be careful about biblical, be careful you think biblically, young people. Biblical thinking patterns about money. Okay, I wanted all the young people to have one of the handouts tonight. Fill it in. Stick it in your Bible somewhere. Look at it again over time. Be careful you don't get carried away in the temptation to think that money is more important than it really is. Money never made a man. Money never made a man. Character, hard work, honesty, integrity, those things make a man, not money. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight. We are done. God and Heavenly Father, would you please help us? We live in a society inundated by the wrong thinking about money. And I pray, God, that you would help us to be protected from being caught up in the pursuit of that which is not. Help us not to set our eyes on that which is not. Help us to set our eyes on things that are far more precious than gold. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. I pray especially for the young people, so vulnerable right now. So vulnerable. Right there at the age, the time in life when they could just get so infatuated with the dollars. Please help them to stay biblical in their thinking about money. I pray it in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, just a verse of the invitation.